Good morning, church. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I've read these verses in Romans probably more than any other scripture in the Bible, and each time I read them, in my head, I could sense this drama building as I read about all the things that we may encounter in this life. And then finally, the conclusion with the words, quietly spoken, nothing will separate me from the love of God. I just love it. I hope you enjoyed that. So the book of Romans, it's written by the Apostle Paul, a person who should have a PhD in an understanding of how God provides and loves us through all our challenges. I think we'd all agree that Paul, he was an expert on this topic, and I am really excited to walk through it today with you guys. Okay, full disclosure, I am not a pastor, or do I really feel God is leading me in that direction, but I just want you guys to know I feel so blessed and humbled to be able to deliver today's message with you guys. I certainly may fumble through it, but I hope you enjoy it half as much as I did while preparing for it. So, today, we're continuing our theme this month of having confidence and trust that God is with us no matter what. Let's pray. Father, we love you, God. Let these words be your words. Let this message be your message, and let you receive all the glory. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, in my opinion, obviously, I love the book of Romans. There's no better book in the Bible to read about God's total devotion to us than Romans chapter 8. There's so much we could talk about wrapped up in these verses, and honestly, I really wasn't sure where to start. But I thought I'd start with this term victory. Romans 8 to me screams victory, victory in this life, how God, he's with us no matter what, how nothing that we face will separate us from his love. All that to me, it screams victory. Victory over my fears, my doubts, victory over my problems, my hurts, and my darkest days. When I read it, I'm reminded that I can have confidence through life's challenges because, honestly, I'm never alone. Okay, so I'm drawn back to Romans a lot, specifically chapter 8 and this concept of victory. I'm drawn back all the time, to be honest with you. It's this word victory that God used to draw me to him. And the best way I could kind of explain that is by sharing with you guys my story. Okay, so I'm going to take you back, time capsule, the year it's 1996. So up until this point in my life, I had been a filler. Now that is the word I use not only to describe myself, but most of the world. So let me explain. So I believe we're all kind of like a donut, right? A donut's round with that hole in the middle. Now stay with me, it's kind of weird, but hopefully it'll make sense. We have this hole in the middle of us that we're constantly filling with short-term things that we believe might give life meaning and bring us some sense of peace and maybe some purpose. Okay, so I was filling my void with all unhealthy and short-term things. Drugs, alcohol, craving to be the life of the party, spontaneous living with no regard for the consequences or how I might feel in the morning or who I may offend with the words I use. And I had been filling my life with these things for years. For me, it started back in high school. It went into college and then well after. And by 1996, if I had to be honest, I was completely insecure and felt empty in so many areas of my life. At that time, for me, the world seemed a bit out of control. So I think back at some of the events that led up to those feelings, and I'm reminded of like the disease AIDS. That was certainly still prevalent through the 90s. America had just gotten into war and conflict in the Middle East, so that was going on. We had serious social unrest. We had Rodney King beatings, and I don't know if y'all remember all those riots that followed that. And then in 1995, Timothy McVeigh blew up the Oklahoma City Federal Building. It killed 168 people. Many of those were young children. Now that one, I gotta be honest, really rocked my view of world order, and I felt things were completely out of control by that point. Okay, so in 96, the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, were held in the city of Atlanta. Now, post the bombings in Oklahoma City and also all the unrest that was going on in the Middle East, the Olympic Committee, they were assuring everyone that these would be the safest Olympics ever held. They were talking about sparing no expense and securing every venue and every event. Then on Saturday, July 27th, a bomb blows up in Centennial Park at one of the Olympic events. Again, yet another example, at least to me, that the world was out of control and I was completely caught up in it. Okay, I'd only been to church two or three times in my life. Mainly for with my extended family for Easter or Christmas Eve service. I didn't know God, didn't know the gospel, didn't know anything. But for some reason, I know it was God. Cindy and I decided to go to church the next day after the Olympic bombings. It's Sunday, July 28th. Okay, so the pastor, he walks up on stage holding a newspaper clipping with the headline describing the bombings, right? He described what happened and really exactly how I was feeling, that the world seemed out of control. And then he said something amazing that completely blew my mind. He said, "We are not victims, but rather we have victory over all that happens in this world through Christ Jesus." I mean, up until that exact moment, I was feeling anything but victorious in this life. But he went on to preach a message of total victory over the challenges of this life for those that have Jesus. I had never, ever heard that, and it rocked my world. And I'm so grateful I accepted Christ that day. And I slowly been filling my void with God's word ever since, and my life has changed forever. Okay, long story, but I wanted to share that with you because chapter 8 is a message of victory in this life, and I'm hoping that my story resonates with some of you. Okay, now, since then, the world and its hurts has not stopped. I feel like it started with the Columbine High School shootings, and since then, we've had hundreds of other shootings, mass shootings. So we've had the September 11th attacks, we've had war in the Middle East continue, social injustice, and obviously, most recently, we're all dealing with this global pandemic. It never stops. But what I know now that I didn't know then, we that are in Christ Jesus have victory over all of it. Why? Because God promises never to leave us no matter what is happening around us. We are His. The biggest mystery, the secret that I know the world needs to hear is that through all the hurt and fear we face, God, He's with us. God, He's loving on us. And God, He's given us victory that we didn't earn, but He has given to those that are in Christ Jesus. Okay, I mentioned Romans 8. I've read these verses so many times in the Bible. Why? Because I suffer. I suffer from what I describe as something I call spiritual amnesia. Now, spiritual amnesia is when we or I forget our identity in Christ. We temporarily lose the confidence that God is with us. We forget the love of God. We forget His presence in every aspect of our lives. And for me personally, I tend to forget the victory I have over life's issues. A victory I didn't earn, but I still get to enjoy. Okay, in preparing for this, I was reminded I actually had symptoms of amnesia once. I was snowboarding. I caught an edge. I did a face plant on a hard snowpack. I got up and had no idea where I was, what I was doing, or even who I was. I obviously was suffering from a concussion with symptoms like amnesia. And I stayed like this for, it seemed like about 5 or 10 minutes until I saw my friend. Now, once I saw the familiarity of my friend, immediately all my memory came rushing back. So I tell that story because that's why I love Romans, specifically Romans chapter 8, because it's like a familiar friend who brings me back to the reality that God loves me and nothing can change that. So why, church? Why, after reading words like, "If God is for me, who could be against me? I'm more than a conqueror," or "Who shall separate me from the love of Christ?" I still feel at times that God, He doesn't hear me, or I doubt that He's with me, or He's present in my life during those crappy days. I mean, the only explanation I have when I think about this is that word feel. See, my feelings are many times not based on reality. They get influenced by the things I read, I watch on TV, my circumstances, my insecurities, and even maybe what people say about me. I sometimes feel, how could God love me when I feel kind of unworthy of His love? I mean, He sees my life. He knows how I live, knows all my thoughts, knows me inside and out. He knows when I fail Him and when I fail to live up to His will. I feel like sometimes there's too much sin in my life for God to love me. I mean, how could God love me with the sin of my life? Well, Paul answers that with another question in 8:35 when he writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" He goes on to state that nothing can separate me. So how do I boil this down, church? It's this: God's grace is greater than my feelings. God's mercy is greater than how I feel about myself. And God's love is greater than what my mind might be telling me. Regardless of how we feel or even who may be accusing us, we can have confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Now, unfortunately, Christians, including myself, we often have a low opinion of ourselves. And more importantly, we forget what Christ has done for us. We need to remember the enemy is the accuser, Satan, and he wants us to feel that way. In preparation, I read in Revelation 12:10, "For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night," he's up there day and night saying stuff about us, church. One of the ways he manipulates how we feel about our closeness to God is through his accusations. He is well known to be the accuser. I mean, honestly, I can imagine Satan saying to God right now, "Look at Jeff. Did you see what he did today? Did you hear what he said? Did you tune in to those thoughts he had?" And he calls himself a Christian. He's even asked to share a message on Sunday. "I can't believe he did that to you, God, after all you've done for him." And then God looks at Satan and says, "I'm sorry, I don't see Jeff." And then Satan jumps back in. "No, he's right there. You see him. There he is, right down there." But God interrupts Satan again. He says, "Sorry, I didn't see Jeff. When I looked at him, all I saw was my son, Jesus." God loves us so much, he doesn't even see our sin. All he sees is his son, Jesus. Jesus who justifies us. Nothing can separate us. So when we hide in shame from God, like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, God still loves us. When we desert him, like the disciples did when they fled after Jesus was arrested, God still loves us. When we sometimes deny him, just like Peter did when they asked him about his relationship with Jesus, God still loves us. When we are at the bedside of someone we love who's racked with pain and disease, God is with us and he loves us. When we visit the grave of someone we loved so dearly, God is with us and he loves us. We think maybe that God will love us more if we pray more, study our Bibles more, attend church more, just live a better life. I mean, these things, they might be an indicator of our love for God, but they don't impact or change God's love for us one bit. We could have confidence that God's love is deep and God's love has nothing to do with us, thankfully. Others, you know, they may love us because, I don't know, we're rich, we're funny, we may be charming, great athletes, super smart, list goes on and on. Not God. Not God. He loves us because he wants to love us. That's just who he is. God's love is greater than our feelings. Okay, another reminder that comes from Romans 8. I believe God's love for us is never ending because he's invested so much in us. I mean, Christ paid the ultimate price, a debt we can never afford to pay. I mean, think about the things that you paid the most for in your life. You've got house or houses, you know, your cars, your vacations, your education. I mean, big investments that cost big dollars. You don't forget about these things because of the price you had to pay for them. God will not leave us or forget us because he loved us so much. He paid the ultimate price. He's way too invested in us now to leave. In 8:32, Paul writes, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" God in his love gave us everything we need to meet life's problems. And furthermore, the reason we can be confident that we will not be condemned by our sins is that Jesus is now at the right hand of God. I mean, think about it. In other words, the same Jesus who loved us enough to die for us is now in the ultimate position of authority, power, and influence. I mean, talk about having friends in high places. We have a friend in the highest place seated at the right hand of God, and he will not allow us to be condemned. So, church, what about our problems and trials we face? Romans 8 is so clear that nothing we face or experience in this life can separate us. But honestly, what about our circumstances that we go through? I mean, what if some overwhelming temptation takes over our bodies or some debilitating depression should come upon us? I mean, seriously, what then? These are serious things that we all face. I mean, first of all, we need to remember that God does not shelter us from the difficulties of this life. In fact, he actually allows us to experience them because he knows we need them. I read back in Romans 5, Paul stated, we should rejoice in our suffering. Why? Because it produces so many strong character traits. In fact, God permits trials that we might use them for our good, but more importantly, for his glory. We endure trials for his sake. It states in Romans 8:36, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. Okay, so since we do we really think he will desert us? No, in the next verses, Paul states emphatically, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. God is even closer to us when we go through these difficulties. I mean, suffering, it should not drive us away from God, but actually it should help us identify with him further and allow his love to reach us. I recently read the U.S. wastes nearly like 40 million tons of food every year. Now, that's estimated to be roughly 30 to 40% of our entire U.S. food supply. Now, that is food. It's no longer useful and cannot go to the people that need it. It's gone. It's wasted. Now, God has the ability to waste nothing in our lives, especially our pains, our hurts. He uses them for his glory to help make us more like Christ. Okay, remember this, church. I read it in Rick Warren's book, A Purpose-Driven Life. Our greatest life messages, our most effective ministries, will always come out of our deepest hurts. So if God loved you so much to do this for you, will he forget all about you now in your time of need? No way. God has too much love invested in you to just walk off and forget about you now. All right. I love what Paul writes in verses 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? To summarize, church, in four small words, God is for us. I mean, every Christian who wants to share the good news with the world, all they have to really state is that declarative sentence. God is for us. No matter who you are, Paul reminds us, regardless of what you've done in your life, in spite of where you may be in your walk with him, you must know that God is for us. God, he's on your side. You are not on the battlefield alone. He has your back. He's walking with you. He is talking to you. God is with us and for us. That's just who God is. We are caught up. We are tied up. We are wrapped up in his love. That's the gospel. That is the good news. We have a God who is for us. All right. I hope you walk away today reminded today you are a conqueror. The same God that saved Abraham in the city of Sodom, he saved Lot. He saved the nation of Israel, David, Paul, countless others is here to save you. In closing, I wanted to leave you with a short video. Now, God, he's provided us countless clues to his undeniable love for us. We see these clues and we gain confidence that he's not forgotten about us. It's all around us, but some of it we can't see, and that's what this video does such an amazing job in portraying. Now, it's kind of a famous video. I'm sure some of you have seen it. I like to reference it from time to time as yet another resource to help me fight against my spiritual amnesia. I hope you enjoy it, church. Remember, it's God's love that binds everything together. Enjoy.